Please be seated. My God, why have you forsaken me? These opening words of Psalm 22, Jesus cries out from the heart of the cross, not to point fingers or to blame, but to do something infinitely more difficult. Jesus has stretched out his arms of love on the hardwood of the cross in order to draw us to himself, to draw to himself and to carry for us all of the sin, all of the strife, all of the wounds, and all of the brokenness of our lives. We read Psalm 22 on Good Friday because it is so closely associated with the passion of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't hear about it in the narrative that we just read together in an act of liturgical theater. Jesus doesn't cry out like that in the Gospel of John. He's more in control and hands over his spirit and says, "It is finished." But these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? These are indelibly marked in our souls when we think about Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? It fits, and it is no wonder that Jesus would cry out from the cross these words that open up Psalm 22. Jesus was, after all, a good Jew and an excellent student of the Hebrew Scriptures. Jesus is the kind of holy person who's so steeped in Scripture and so formed by prayer that his instinctive response in times of trial is to draw upon that deep and ancient wisdom. He calls on his knowledge of Scripture in the wilderness when he's being tempted by Satan. He calls upon that knowledge again and again in confrontation with the religious authorities. And he does so one more time here on the cross. When Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He and the hearers of the gospel would hear wrapped up in that one line all of the complex lament that is Psalm 22, which ends, of all things, it ends with a hymn of praise. "I will declare your name to my brethren," says the psalmist. "In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. My praise is of him in the great assembly. For he does not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty, neither does he hide his face from them. But when they cry to him, he hears them." So the lament of Psalm 22 includes hints of hope and glimpses of the praise to come. And the praise at the end of the psalm is fundamentally connected to the lament at the beginning of the psalm, in much the same way that our Easter praises have to be connected with our Good Friday lament. We can't get to the praise without walking through the lament of Good Friday. And this is why we need the view from the cross. When Jesus is on the cross, he sees everything, including you and me. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus cries that out on our behalf. This cry from the heart of the cross connects God's law of love to what God has done in the life of this one person. Afflicted, persecuted, scorned, tortured, and killed. God has gathered up all the sins, all the wounds in the world, in this one person, for healing and for our salvation. We may not be able to take up the view from the heart of the cross, but for the sake of this love, we will spend some time today with the view at the foot of the cross. And when we look up from the foot of the cross, we see Jesus. We see Jesus on the cross, and in him we see the reflection of the view that he has there from the heart of the cross. We see ourselves reflected in Jesus, fractured, divided, selfish and self-absorbed, focused on our own self-interest and forgetting to love and serve Christ in one another. What does it mean when we are here at the foot of the cross and we look up and see that reflection of ourselves in Jesus at the heart of the cross? What do we see about ourselves there? What do we see about the world when we look through that cross lens? Franciscan priest Richard Rohr writes of the cross, "What the mystery of the cross teaches us is how to stand against hate without becoming hate, how to oppose evil without becoming evil ourselves." That is what we see reflected in the heart of the cross. Jesus standing against hate, opposing evil without becoming either one, but maintaining his core identity as love. When you look up at the cross, and you see Jesus there, and you see yourself reflected in those eyes of love looking back. If you look at yourself in those eyes of love in that moment, you will feel crucified yourself. And you will know that you were there when they crucified our Lord. You will know that he saw you there. And he loved you there. He still does love you for all your brokenness, all your woundedness, all your complicity. He loves you, and he always, always will. And that's why he's on the cross.